Christopher, it's under your Chromebook. I just moved one. I'm like, wait a minute, there's something under here.
Good evening. It's now 6 o'clock, and I'm going to call the Smyrna School Board meeting to order for September 10th, 2025. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silence by Mrs. Weber. Oh, we have a kid. Never mind. I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Snow. I'd like to welcome third grader Levi Mensa to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
You can come back any meeting you want, everybody, and lead us right on. All right, we'll move on to the next item of business, changes to the agenda.
We have none.
All right, moving on to item 4.1, swearing in of the student board member. Am I doing that?
Yeah.
All right, do you have it printed out?
She does.
She does, all right, perfect. Yeah. All right, we're going to move on to administrative reports, starting with the principal's report.
Thank you again, Mr. Snow. We will have a slide presentation if everyone would just adjust, or unless you have it in front of you. It's very possible you have it in front of you. No? Then it's going to be behind you. Welcome to Smyrna Elementary School, and may I wish you a happy new year. It is good being first. For the board's pleasure, we don't have a chorus yet. We don't have a drama yet. But we got Levi Mensa. Okay? All right?
Yay!
So it is good to be first. The 25-26 school year has gotten off to a fabulous start. One of the most unique things I shared with the faculty at our Welcome Back faculty meeting was it is a unique thing about our profession that every year, it's very cyclical, we get to start fresh. It's a fresh start in many ways here at Smyrna Elementary School. And I think we should all be grateful for the ability to kind of always have that ability to start fresh. Again, I said Happy New Year. I've included a few pictures here. I want to talk about the summer. Unlike seven other buildings in the district, Smyrna Elementary was not quiet this summer. We hosted the district ESY 12-month programs, the district MLL summer learning programs, and the district summer camps. All total, approximately about 350 students were here for 7 weeks. So it was a busy place, feeding them lunch, feeding them dinner, bus transportation, car rider pickup. You could say Mrs. Gregory and I had a kind of a trial run. That did put our routine building cleaning kind of on a condensed schedule. I have to give, I don't think any of them are in here right now, but I have to give our new chief, Gerald Nye, and his team, again, what other buildings had approximately 11 weeks or so to accomplish, our team managed it in about five. And there's one picture down there in the lower left-hand corner. There was 1 week this summer during all the summer programming where there were no students, and he managed to get in, unload rooms, scrub rooms, wax floors, get everything back in for the next round, and then once it was all finished, then he was just able to kind of go back and do some touch-ups. They've done a great job. We have a few building improvements on tap. It's an older building. It needs some attention. I joke all the time, my 10-year-old truck needs more attention than my wife's one-month-old truck, but it needs some attention. We've got Mr. Moreno from Moreno's Landscaping helped us with a safety concern out back right before kids got back. You can see the mulch being spread. There are just some things that we need to keep an eye on moving forward that we're trying to address a little bit at a time. New teacher orientation, we welcomed new team members. There are our teachers and our new paraprofessional there. So we welcomed a new art teacher, two new special education teachers, one para. Gerald Nye is not here this evening, but I wanted to mention him again, as well as a new math specialist. We've been fully staffed since late July, and we are to this point in time. That's knock on wood. The in-service week, welcome back for in and in-service. It was a wonderful week. You can't help but say, summer's over. But it was also very invigorating to be back with colleagues, get the year started off. We had a great week. And then I want to talk briefly about students returned, as you know, on September 2nd. Interestingly, our enrollment's down. We had a huge third grade class move down to JBM in June. We didn't fully expect we'd replace 136 students at one time, but it's down about 80 kids from where we were in June. So we're not quite sure of the root causes there, but it is, as Missy Wilson will tell you, it is a revolving door. Even to this week, we're in week two, really, but we will get three and lose two. We'll get two and lose one, and it's just second week of school and they're still coming and going quite rapidly. It is kind of a marathon, the school year is, but the month of September here at Smyrna is an absolute sprint. We came back in, had our in-service, our visitation. Students came back on the 2nd. We're with the board this evening. Open house on Monday for all families. It's fall picture day is a big day at the elementary school. That's the week after, and then our first faculty meeting's right there. So we're packing a lot in a short amount of time. I want to talk to you briefly about the words you see here. We are vision and mission driven. And the last mission and vision were written in approximately 2017. So that's eight-ish years. That's 8 years. And one of two things is true. Either that mission and vision was that good, or it had just kind of gotten forgotten about. So Mrs. Gregory, with the help of our team leaders, kind of went back to the drawing board, and we came up with new ones. And what I told my faculty is that if what we're struggling with, if decisions we're trying to make don't support what is in those words, then maybe we need to rethink it, because that's why we're here. The mission statement isn't a lot different. It talks about forming partnerships with families. But one thing our mission statement missed back in 2017 was that partnership with our staff as well. So we wanted to capture that, and we did that with the help of our teacher leaders. We've instilled some collective commitments. You can think of these, if you will. The beginning of the year is an important time for setting routines and expectations, not just for students, but for staff also. But we took it one step further. These are collective commitments around the areas of professionalism and punctuality, communication, both internal and external, unique learners, our culture. But it's not just our expectations of staff. We went one step further in what our staff can expect from us. So we kind of have that again, revolving door, if you will, that two-way. So we are pleased with that, and you know, it comes up, we talk about it every day. We do have a fresh 25-26 school improvement plan. I'm going to summarize it for you in just a minute, but Mrs. Gregory and I poured over an absolute ton of data this summer. Again, I used the term root causes earlier, I'll use it again. Teacher comments from the Insight Survey, grading data, discipline data, parent surveys, all sorts of data to kind of hone in on what are some of the focused priorities that we're going to focus on this year. So our prioritized goals are, shouldn't come as a huge surprise, increase our performance in math and ELA on the SBAC. Mrs. Gregory and I came up with 10%. That's a big bite, we understand. But we're working with our teachers starting already on September 19th in service to try to chip away at that big bite. The percentage of special education students performing at a PL1. We know that they have needs that maybe they're not going to reach a PL4, but I'd like to see some efforts made working with our special programs and special services staff on moving some of them from a 1 to a 2. And lastly, up there is a more of a climate goal, and that is implement a clear protocol for requesting support or assistance for student matters and student issues. I am going to call Mrs. Gregory to the stand, and she's going to talk a minute about our newly minted theme here at Smyrna Elementary School. Along with Mrs. Wilson and Mrs. Bell, we launched Smyrna Eagles Aspire to Greatness. And I think you're even going to have a cameo appearance. Is that right?
That's right.
Yes, sir. Thanks for coming. So this year, as we were going into our new year, laying some groundwork, we wanted to come up with something that could stick for years to come. Themes are cool. They're great to have. They're fun to do. But we wanted something that we can really lean on that goes with our mission and explains what our goal is for when our students leave here, go into our community, and go throughout their career the rest of the way through Smyrna. So we came up with Aspire for, like Mr. Morrison said, Smyrna Eagles Aspiring to Greatness, and we broke that down into students being ambitious, strong, proud, inspiring, resilient, and empowering. So most people will like this because it's not going to be me just talking. We do have a guest performance on here, Mr. Rebel Chase. If you don't know Rebel, he is quite the celebrity around our school and our district. He's our therapy dog. Miss Missy Wilson has done amazing things with him through training and services that he helps with our students. You'll find him in the classrooms. He's even gotten certified now. He works with our occupational therapists doing nose work. So helping with a lot of cool things that you don't typically think for a therapy dog. He's doing it now. So if you ever get a chance to visit us and meet Rebel and see him in work, it's pretty cool. So we thought it'd be cool to see through Rebel's eyes, what does that Aspire look like when you're going through our building? Firstly, with ambitious, you know, we want our students to be able to set goals and go after them.
I see students who reach high, dream big, and try even when it's hard. They're not afraid to aim for greatness. That's what ambition looks like.
Next one, of course, our students have strength. They're going to be facing challenges with courage and care.
Strength isn't just muscles. It's kindness. Patience, and getting back up when you fall. I see strength every day, even in the quiet moments.
Of course, we want our students to be proud of their school, of the work they do, so we celebrate who we are and what we achieve.
When students smile after learning something new, I see pride, and I wag my tail every time.
And inspiring to others, lifting each other up.
The little acts matter. A helping hand or a kind word. I've seen students inspire one another just by being themselves.
And being resilient. Keep going even when it's tough.
Sometimes a deep breath and an encouraging word is all someone needs to keep going. Resilience is in every bounce back. When students feel safe and seen, they believe in themselves. That's when they truly shine.
And of course, feeling empowered, being able to find their voice and their own strength and showing it to the world.
At Smyrna Elementary, we don't just learn. We aspire to greatness. Every day I see it. Every day I feel it. And every day, I'm proud to walk beside them.
So that's just a little bit of our direction and our vision and mission that we're going here. We're very excited to kick off the year. Our staff are excited, and we've been working closely with them on all the steps that we've gone over with you and having our leadership teams heavily involved with the decision making that David and I are doing here. So thank you all for hearing us, and hope you have a great rest of the evening.
Thank you both very much. Thank you for hosting all of our summer activities. I'm sure that was no small feat. And but then also your staff and everybody ready and back up and running for the school year. So thank you guys very much, and thank you for hosting us tonight. All right, moving on to the next report, superintendent's report.
Okay, thank you. So beginning of the school year, we have quite a uphill battle, difficult task to get all the kids here and all the rooms and everything organized. So I really just want to give a shout out to all of our operations teams, specifically our transportation team, our child nutrition team, our technology team, buildings and grounds. They have done a tremendous job, not just over the summer, but even just weekends, nights, double time, overtime, all of the things, holidays to get our buildings where they are. So I for everyone to come and learn with each other. So it's a true inspiration to see them all do that. Transportation has, with technology's help, has really climbed some mountains in the past week or two. And there's always room to make improvements as we go along, and we're certainly learning from them, documenting them, and getting them to the point where we don't have to experience that again, right, Mrs. Cook? So I wanted to give everybody an update on the renaming committee, as we had asked a few months ago for the suggestions for the name of the new middle school. Clayton Intermediate will become a middle school in 2027. So we have the committee has been created, and we're going to meet in about a week and a half to go over the names suggested by staff, alumni, students, community members, and we will bring five options to the board in October to vote on. So stay tuned for that. We do have a couple new things on the website. If you go out, there is a State of the District tab. We have some reports that will be outlined, and they are outlined in our board policy that curriculum and special services. We'll have a report in October, and then we will have data from our discipline team, and then we will have data again from our human resources team, and those will be outlined throughout the year. So as those reports continue or as they flow, we will add those to the website for everyone to view, and that will be something that you can see at any time, how our district is moving forward and what we're doing. I wanted to give a couple highlights from every school because Mr. Morrison, Mrs. Gregory had the opportunity to open, but we had quite a few great things going on in the district over the past 2 weeks. Smyrna High School had a freshman practice pep rally. I'm sure Keely took part in that. And they also had a senior sunrise. And the admins served over 200 cups of waffle mix. Miss Mary probably witnessed that. they served the admin, the staff at the school. So that was really fun for them. SMS reports that fall sports are in full swing. The breakfast lines with universal breakfast are moving quickly. And there's a lot of positive feedback from kids about new elective classes at the middle school. JBM said smooth operations and that the car rider line is looking great. All of the students have transitioned well and the teachers are TikToking, and they've gotten great parent feedback all around, and they plan to have some staff town halls to get feedback from the staff as well. CIS had students submitting their math and reading logs as they were entering last week. It was a great way for them to start off the year in learning. And procedures and operations are going very well, like a well-oiled machine already. North is grateful and excited for the staff parking lot and more room. So that is all they had to say. That was quite a struggle for them last year. Nothing to do with them, just to do with the growing pains. CES had the fourth grade came in ready to run things, and they're helping the Littlest Eagles navigate the halls, and thanks to the teachers who are creating those opportunities for leadership for those kids at Clayton. Sunnyside, I will say that I heard over the summer that two very special trees that I was there at that school as a principal were no longer flourishing. So we did work to make sure those trees were replaced. Mrs. Castro's daughter is here tonight, but one of them was dedicated to Mrs. Castro, the first principal at Sunnyside. And then Mr. Pat Van Veen, who was also in this building, who also had the first therapy dog, Buster, pretty infamous people in the history of Smyrna. So wonderful people who gave a lot to the community. I wanted to make sure that those trees were there and have the opportunity to flourish again. Also, they had an expectations assembly during the first week, and they're fully staffed, so that's great for them. Open houses next week. So we will have a report on open houses. Lots of parents come in. It's a packed house usually everywhere, except for maybe the high school, because once you've gone beyond the freshman year, it's kind of old hat for those parents. But we welcome everybody to come in, and the calendar for those events are on the district calendar, and then you can look at each of the websites for the schools to see specifics about open house. So that is all I have. I do want to, if you have any questions first, and then we're going to pass it on to Keely for her first student board member report.
Anybody have any questions for Ms. Judy or any of the other reports before we let Ms. Coleman go? Floor is yours.
Nope, you say it right there. Can you move?
You got to turn it on.
Okay. All right, so like Miss Judy said, we did have our freshman day and our practice pep rally, which was really cool. The cheerleaders and the members got to go around and help the freshmen, and we showed them how it was to be at a pep rally. Fall sports just kicked off, so soccer, field hockey, and volleyball started their season off with a win, which was really cool. We had our club fair, which turned out very well. We had a lot of underclassmen show up and sign up for new clubs. I worked SGA, so we had around 60 kids sign up for SGA, which is awesome. We will be having our meeting next Thursday. And we have a new principal, Ms. Hampton Morton. So the transition has been very smooth. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much. If there's no questions, then we will move on to, we're going to skip item 6.1, executive session for now, and go on to item 7.1, formal public comment.
Do we have anybody signed up?
Yes, we have two people signed up. The first one is Chuck Welsh.
You could please make sure to kind of speak in the microphone because we're on the Zoom thing now. Well, I mean, just make sure it can, you know, it can hear you, whichever one they tell you. Thank you.
Good evening, Smyrna School Board, Superintendent, Assistant Superintendent. My name is Chuck Welsh, and I'm currently a math teacher at Smyrna High School, and I am the proud president of the Smyrna Educators Association. Am I worth zero? Is my family worth more than zero? Are my colleagues worth more than zero? Are students worth more than zero? Yet that's exactly what we've been offered, zero. Zero last year, zero this year, and zero next year. Local pay raises were promised this year and next year if the district passed its referendum. Our agreement included a commitment to reopen salary negotiations if the referendum did not pass. If we thought that meant 0% for the next 2 years, we wouldn't have bothered with language about a reopener, and our members would have voted it down. While the state has given public educators throughout Delaware the exact same raises on the state-funded portions of our salaries, our own school district refuses to face and keep pace with the cost of inflation on the local side. Our school district says we are not worth the same pay earned by educators in other districts while they're providing local raises. That's not only the problem for us, that's a problem for this school board. At a time when we are facing a statewide educator shortage, the Smyrna School District is paying teachers who have earned a bachelor's degree and in the first decade of their career, the lowest salary of the six surrounding school districts. And we are second lowest for teachers in years 12 through 18. Pay for paraprofessionals with a bachelor's degree is among the lowest of our neighbors for the most experienced educators. And pay for administrative assistants and financial secretaries is among the lowest across the board. That means many of our employees can realize a substantial pay increase just by transferring to Lake Forest, Caesar Rodney, Capital, Appaquinimic, or Colonial School Districts. I don't want this to happen. I love my students, I love Smyrna, I love this community, but you are giving us no choice. And this school board is going to have a much harder time filling our positions because the Smyrna School District refuses to keep pace with its neighbors. Three straight years of no local pay raises means Smyrna School District will lose even more ground. And it's the children of this community who will suffer. It's not our students' fault. It's not our employees, your employees' fault, that our district twice failed to pass a referendum. It's not their fault you passed on a once in a generation opportunity to increase local funding. And it's not fair, their fault, you refuse to offer more than zero. You say there's no money for raises, but we have not seen it. Show us the numbers, answer our questions, work with us to find alternative solutions. The superintendent says paying us what we're worth isn't sustainable. Neither is balancing the budget on the backs of the dedicated teachers, paraprofessionals, custodians, and administrative assistants who work day in and day out for this community. We're only 2 weeks into the school year, and your words and your actions are causing serious harm to staff morale. But it's not too late. You have the power to reopen the budget, make adjustments for your local employees. Meet with us, negotiate with us in good faith, and let's work together to keep Smyrna strong.
Thank you very much, Mr. Welsh. Who's next?
Candace Decker.
Hello, I'm Candace Decker. And I really just wanted to say, I don't know if any of you all went to North Smyrna Elementary during construction or even CIS. But Kristen and I had gone to look at some kitchen, and this was 7 days before the first day of school. I'm like turning my back on people. And I was totally shocked. It was horrible, horrendous. I would have been livid if it was my classroom. It was so dusty, dirty. And I thought to myself, how are they going to open it, you know, in 7 days? But when I walked around, all of the staff members were smiling. And I just was like, wow, like that's so great. So I just wanted to say thank you to them to have that great attitude. Thank you, buddy, for taking on something that you probably didn't realize was gonna be what it was gonna be. So thank you for taking care of that. Thank you to Kristen for being patient with the kitchen use and just the staff at both schools. Again, if you saw it, you'd be like, what? It was bad. So, but they had a great attitude the whole time, and I just wanted to say thank you and let them know that they did a great job. Like, it was really nice to still see the smiles through all that stuff. That was all.
Awesome.
Thank you, Mrs. Decker. Do we have any other public comment?
No.
All right, moving on to new business, item 8.1, approval of board minutes, August 12th, 2025.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 8.1, board minutes from August 12, 2025, as submitted.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we'll now proceed to vote. Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Moving on to item 8.2, approval of monthly financial reports.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Steve, did you have anything you wanted to?
Yeah, I just wanted to just remind you, with our board meeting being a week earlier each month, the reports that you have here are from the month of July. So you'll see some startup POs. That's why the list is a little lengthy due to a lot of our door opener type expenses at the beginning of the year. Also, I do want to add, last Thursday, our Citizens Budget Oversight Committee met. We have 7 members on the committee. We spent extensive amount of time, over 2.5 hours, going through sort of A to Z, starting at the beginning of our sort of how school finance works. Mrs. Weber was our board liaison who joined us. I also went through this monthly financial statement with them and reviewed each line of that, so they're aware of what you see each month, the expenses, the revenues, how our taxes are collected, all of those types of items. So more an open approach. I know this hasn't been something that they've met on a regular basis in the past, but that was one of my goals coming on board. And we're looking to meet sometime in December once all of our unit counts finalized, our state allocations are set, to see really where we are sitting financially at that point in time.
Mr. Gott, that financial oversight committee that you were speaking of, that was eligible for any one of the community members that lives within the district to to submit an application for?
Yep. So the Citizens Budget Oversight Committee, each of the school districts in the state have them per law. And there's an application process that we advertised back in May. There are requirements, one requirement being that they obviously have to live in the community, and two of those members on the committee have to have some sort of financial background. We have one that works for Discover with an extensive amount of years, and we have one who is a bank controller with a very extensive knowledge of large assets.
So how many people applied to be part of that?
I do believe we had 9, and the selection committee selected 7 individuals.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right, we're going to proceed to vote. Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Moving on to item 8.3, school choice 25-26 school year.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 8.3, school choice 2025-2026 school year as submitted.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Item 8.4, bond sale for market pressure funding.
So tonight I'm presenting you our final step, our final stage of selling our bonds for our market pressure local portion that was passed with the June 2024 referendum. We obviously approved a bond anticipation note in October. This is the actually authorization of the sale of the bond required with the process of the Treasury Department. Obviously, we're in 3 construction projects. We're fully funded. This is the last portion with our new school construction with that market pressure local portion of $4.162 million. Of course, the state is funding $13.3 million, as we've advertised with the community in June of 24. But we need one final authorization approval from the school board tonight.
So just to be clear, we're not authorizing additional funds. We're just authorizing the sale of the bonds on the funds the community has already approved.
Correct. The June 2024, that was that market pressure difference for the new school.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 8.4, bond sale for market pressure funding as submitted.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. I'm going to take 1 second here before we move on to the next thing. Ms. Coleman, at any time, if you have something that you think is pertinent, please do not hesitate to speak right up. We value your time that you're giving us, and sometimes the student member has insights that we're too old to have. So we appreciate it.
Speak for yourself.
All right. Well, I'm too old to have that. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and move on to item 8.5, updates to the agenda.
So last month, our newest board member, Mr. Weisenberger, had mentioned about what do we show publicly on the agenda for the community prior to the board meeting. He had some questions about the administrative reports, and we all sort of discussed it. I'm certainly not just attributing this to Mr. Weisenberger. So I did get a legal opinion for us, because that's always the measuring stick, and we are able to discuss that tonight and see what you all want to do as a path moving forward.
I'll give my thoughts and then I'll see what everybody else has to think. Previously, when we read the entirety of the reports for the first hour of the meeting, they were all publicly available. I wasn't aware that when we made that change, we also took them off. I don't see any reason why those can't be out. You know, they're nothing we take action on. They're just informational. And then anything beyond that, I think, however it's posted, I'm fine with the public seeing it, but we need to make sure, like, the background in red says pending board approval or draft or something as the background. Well, yeah, so that way somebody doesn't say, well, this is
this is what you guys approved. You know what I mean? It's like, well, no, that's what was presented. And then we asked for X, Y, and Z change, because especially on policies, it happens all the time. We're like, oh, we'd like to change this phrase. Or so I just think we need to make sure that whatever we're putting out there that's for our approval needs to be denoted on that, so that way somebody doesn't print it off and then try to use it against, you know what I mean? Oh, this was in, you know, no, this was at the board meeting, or something against the teacher or administrator or anything like that. So, but other than that, that's kind of where my thoughts are. So anybody else got any thoughts?
No, I agree. I think the biggest concern, like you said, is making sure it's clearly identified. And I think we'll have Miss Judy double check, but obviously no names. Obviously those are restricted, everything. But especially with, I think, if the general public sees what, if we publish, emphasize that we have this month, and we publicize everything that we physically can next month, you'll see how much more information is being given. And you know, the key word is transparency. So I think there's no better form of transparency than putting everything out there, as long as it doesn't have a name tied to it or a personnel action to it.
All non-confidential.
Yeah, and there also are some things that we won't vote on, I guess, the reports and everything like that. So I think clearly identifying those are for information only, or like you said, board action, all that stuff. But I think hopefully the goal of this is everybody that attends or is involved and knowledgeable, they'll see what we have coming up for a couple board meeting. And if there's already concerns, that's your chance to sign up for the public comment, voice your concerns about any of those documents that you're going to see, and then now we have the opportunity to take that into consideration. But if you guys don't see that, we won't know what your concerns are. So I fully support it.
Mr. President, I move to publicly post all board agenda items that we legally can, with the caveat of any voting item to have draft watermark over it.
Second. We have a motion and a second to post everything we legally can with a draft watermark when the agenda is available to the public. Is there any further discussion?
And actually, just a little bit clarified. So this goes back to even finance reports. We're talking money, obviously, is a hot topic. So, and it's just a general reminder, though, that if we post a report, whatever it is, it's for your viewing, it's for your pleasure, and it's for your public comment if you choose to do so at the following board meeting or the board that meeting is going to that. But remember, I guess we have a responsibility, we have a job to do, so it's not, we can take the comments, but just a reminder going forward that if that does become an issue, public comment is for public comment only, and we're just basically sharing your thoughts and opinions on what you see, and then we take action on it. So,
and if you're unable to public comment, we do try to do a very reliable job of responding to emails. You might not get an email back in 10 seconds, but you know, we try to all be on our email at least once a day, just to get back to people that are emailing us. So, you know, there's more than one way to have a conversation if you have something on the agenda you'd like to talk about. Any other conversation, discussion? All right, seeing none, we'll now proceed to vote. Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, motion carries. Item 8.6, quarterly updates from the Board of Education. So as Bobby Joe and I were going around, and I'm sure some of you that were going around 2 weeks ago now, to talk to staff, it came up multiple times about, you know, we don't really pay attention to what you guys do at your board meetings all the time. We're not reading the agendas. We're not necessarily reading the minutes. You know, we hear what we hear, and that's kind of it. So I went back through the minutes, and we've done a really good job of authorizing one-off communications from the board to whoever. But nowhere in there could I find where we kind of authorized semi-regular updates. So I think in an effort to communicate what we're doing with our staff that we should put out quarterly updates, or, you know, every 3 months, 4 months, whatever it is, as a way that people kind of know what actions we're taking and the different things that may affect, you know, their jobs, their you know, grading policies or attendance policies or all this. It sounded like people weren't getting the information in a timely fashion, or at all. So this is a way to try to communicate. And there's going to be some other things we're going to try to do to communicate more. But this way, at least, we can put it in people's inbox and they can see it at their convenience, you know, whenever that suits them. So that was my thoughts here, and I would entertain a motion around that.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to send out quarterly timeframe, quarterly. Yeah.
I would say
so. All right. Sorry. Updates from the board to staff. Is there any other discussion?
Yeah. So you're thinking that you want to, this would come from the board,
mm-hmm.
to be able to communicate things to make sure that the communication is clear for actions that we've taken. And sometimes when you play a telephone game, maybe it does get, like, you know,
misconstrued.
Yeah, like last year saying we got, you know, that everyone got zero. Well, that could be true on the percentage side. They all did receive $250. Because we didn't have, you know, necessarily the funding, the continuing funding in an operating way, but we had extra money in the reserve account that we tried to give back to our staff, things like that. Okay.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Motion carries. All right, moving on to item 8.7, adult meal prices for school year 25-26.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So I received a memo from the Director of Nutrition Services for the Delaware Department of Education. And we are in non-compliance as far as funding for adult meals, that our meal prices have to be increased. So there is a formula that they use, and we are not meeting the formula. So we have to increase meals. This is not anything that I hold to do. It is coming out of the Department of Education. Federal funds cannot, the children's reimbursement cannot fund adult meals, and that's what it's doing right now. So it is proposed that we raise lunch to $5.25 and breakfast to $3.50.
Well, I'm you know, super excited that DOE, you know, ran out of things to do to come let us know we weren't charging our staff enough to eat. So that was great, but I think we all understand.
That is, they have a special formula
use. It's out of our hands.
It's out of our hands.
We're raising the breakfast 25 cents and the lunch 35 cents. Is that correct?
30 cents.
30 cents.
It's presently $4.95.
Oh, we're going to
$5.25.
Yep, okay.
And also confirm that my understanding, if we don't do this, now we are in violation, so therefore we also lose the grant funding for the food for the students, type of thing. So, again, not by choice,
no.
But it's a requirement in order to continue that sustained funding for that nutrition program.
Correct. So. We're out of federal compliance. And so then I have to go into DNARS if this is approved and change all of the prices for all adult meals throughout the district for every school. And then prove to them that I have done so and it has been approved by the board and that we're in compliance. And then we're back to receiving federal reimbursement.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 8.7, adult meal prices for the school year 2025-2026 as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger.
Aye.
Mrs. Weber.
Aye.
Dr. Wilson.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Item 8.8, Smyrna High School Class of 2026 Field Trip. Okay, so this is the class field trip for the class of 2026. They filled out the appropriate form. I would entertain a motion on this item.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 8.8, Smyrna High School Class of 2026 Field Trip as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Yes, I just want to, there really isn't anybody to ask too many questions to, but so this will all be paid for by fundraising and the students themselves. Mm-hmm. The school, it's no cost to the school district. Small hat.
Any further discussion? All right, seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger.
Aye.
Mrs. Weber.
Aye.
Dr. Wilson.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Item 8.9, Smyrna High School National FFA Convention.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 8.9, Smyrna High School National FFA Convention as submitted.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the Smyrna High School National FFA Convention as submitted. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, a little bit on that. And this is just for the record again, I've already talked, spoken with both the superintendent and the assistant superintendent. We have a policy in place, obviously, for any trips that are longer than one day that the school board approves, must approve that. There is no policy per se, as I saw on the timeline, but our form that our educators and student organizations and everything submit, tries to have those in within 60 days. This trip is not within 60 days. So again, there's another one later on that is not within 60 days. So again, trying to just make sure to remind that we stay within that requirement to give us ample amount of time. Again, not that, I mean, the chance that we don't approve it, this is a trip that's gonna happen in 14 days, 18 days, I think. So.
No, this trip's the end of October.
October 28th.
Well, yeah.
I do have to say that some of the kids going on this trip didn't know that they were going to be going on this trip until the end of July. Like, they just found out that they were eligible because they've won the competition in the state. So that's why it wasn't done until now.
All right, and I mean, I guess I think, and you'll see a couple other ones that we're still gonna have some more discussion, I think, on pre-approval, I guess, or because even though we don't, maybe we could have had no kids going to this, I guess, and nobody won at a certain level.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened,
And there will be exceptions. I mean, so just kind of making sure that, kind of reinforce that if at all possible, we understand that our case-by-case situations, so.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger.
Aye.
Mrs. Weber.
Aye.
Dr. Wilson.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Item 8.10, Smyrna High School Ed Rising State Competition.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 8.10, Smyrna High School Ed Rising State Competition.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger.
Aye.
Mrs. Weber.
Aye.
Dr. Wilson.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Moving on to item 8.11, Smyrna High School Educators Rising National Convention.
Mr. President, I move to approve 8.11, Smyrna High School Educators Rising National Competition.
Second.
As submitted.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger.
Aye.
Ms. Weber.
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Moving on to item 8.12.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 8.12, Smyrna High School DECA ICDC 2026 trip request as submitted.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Motion carries.
Moving on to item 8.13.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 8.13 through 8.20 as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve items 8.13 through 8.20 as submitted. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
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 Go ahead, Mr. Rottenberg.
Go ahead. You made the motion. Rock on.
Okay. Some of these that some of them have cost NA, in particular the wrestling ones, all have cost NA. I wanted to know, does anyone have any thoughts or reasoning why it doesn't have a cost in there?
Well, some of the costs to enter the tournaments would be covered on the athletics budget. And then transportation is already covered under the athletics budget. And then generally, I do believe, so not specifically, it's not specific knowledge, but in the past, some of their accommodations have been paid for by donations.
Right, but the FFA were paid for by the alumni. If we still get a cost breakdown.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Like it costs something.
Yeah, so in the future, it would be good to break it down for if there is a district cost or an athletics cost, you know, what that would be. And then if you wanted to break it down for what the students would have to pay out of pocket or through fundraising to make that separate as well. But if there is a cost to the district or to the student, we should know.
Okay.
So we
And I guess that's kind of, that'll lead into then with you making that motion to approve them all. I agree. I think it's very hard to approve something when, like you said, for the one example, the wrestling one, it says total cost per student, not applicable or either not applicable, not available, whatever. But if they turn around and now they say this is going to be $200 for a kid or $500 for a kid, and we've already approved it, now we're kind of authorizing that they could do this, and hopefully that student can afford it. I know we have the boosters, we have all the other forms that they have and fundraisings, but I agree. I think any trip that doesn't have the details, me personally, we can't rightfully approve it. I mean, the one is for the Henlopen Conference for wrestling, and it's even the date's to be determined. So we don't even know what the dates are. So if we have that time and we don't, I mean, kudos to anybody that's trying to get ahead of the game and get it done and knocked out of the way. But for something in February, maybe we need to wait and get a little bit more information before we approve something like that. And then I think when we're talking about these ones, I had a concern with the wrestling, I understand, because they did a good job on outlining not on the conference ones and everything, but some of the other wrestling ones, they detailed why it needs to be an overnight trip and why it needs to be longer than one day because of the wrestling format and everything. But I have a little bit of problem with the field hockey one, because again, date wise, this trip request is for 9 days from now. And it's an overnight trip that has a whole day in between of nothing per se school related. I know some of the other trips, there's downtime. Obviously, I don't expect any of our students to go on a trip that's associated with the organization and not have any fun. But an overnight trip for field hockey for two separate games, that's an hour and a half away, that could probably be driven in two separate days. Again, just my opinion on that one.
I saw the same thing on that until I realized the off day was a Saturday, so they're not missing any school. And we can't really, I mean, I saw that too and was like, eh, and I was like, well, it's a weekend. So me personally, it's like, it's kind of their day. They're not missing school to stay up there. But I did
the
see
the band
that.
Trips are similar in that they compete certain days, but then there are other days where they're doing fun things. And I think, you know, the reason they're choosing to stay overnight is because it won't be an expense to the district. I think transportation would cost, I don't know exactly what their transportation
arrangements are, but.
They're not going in the bank.
Well, even that is
18 of them plus coaches.
Is the transport, is the transportation covering that entire down day? Are we transporting that team?
No.
I don't know.
There might be, I mean, probably vans.
Okay.
It doesn't say if they're taking vans or not. There's not even a slot for it, actually.
And I think this, again, just, again, a friendly reminder, I will never, ever take anything away from the students, but a request that's 9 days from now, I'm pretty sure our schedules get submitted and known far enough in advance for that, so.
Mr. President, I move to amend the motion to add the words approval contingent upon no additional costs to the district that were not already planned.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to amend the main motion to add contingent on no additional costs to the district outside of the previous budgeted amounts. Or as planned, but I think that might, yeah. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. So we amended the main motion to state no additional cost to the district. So now we're still on the amended main motion. Is there any further discussion on the rest of these field trips? Going once, going twice. Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. That is the end of new business. We will now move on to board policies. Board policy 9.1, or sorry, item 9.1, policy 4131, 9.2, 4132, and 9.3, 4133 are all our of the year policies. This will be their second reading.
Mr. President, I move to approve 9.1, policy 4131, 9.2, policy 4132, and 9.3, policy 4133 as submitted for the second and final reading.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. All right, item 9.4, policy 5147, wellness.
Kristen, Mrs. Cole's going to give
some. Great, because I have some questions.
Yeah.
17 pages.
Here she is.
No, right? So the wellness policy is a triennial assessment that was just done. We're required to do the assessments yearly, and then USDA also requires us to do it triennial. So we gathered on August the 13th and ran the committee meeting. There's minimal changes to the policy. One, for instance, on page, the first changes was basically a wordsmith on page two. It was for child nutrition supervisor and or designee, because usually our dietitian handles going out for the yearly assessments and meeting with the principals and nurses. On page four, under school meals, we just added that the meals are red dye free now based on the state and federal laws. We added that under CEP schools, it was only North Smyrna Elementary as a CEP provision, and so now we added that we also had Smyrna Elementary as a community eligibility provision. On bullet four under school meals, we changed that to the district offers reimbursable meals that meet USDA nutrition standards and updates menu items based on the guideline changes. We just instituted a bunch of changes, and our menus have all been updated as far as the reduced sugar, the reduced sodium, and also the saturated fat. The other part is on lunchroom techniques. On page four is the wordsmith, is just to make it clearer that a reimbursement meal can be created in any cafeteria available to students. Before it was just to students anywhere. On page nine, we have an addition total paragraph addition to social dining. And it reads, as the district is committed to student health and well-being, it is a priority to ensure that students are eating in cafeteria settings that are clean, inviting, and welcoming to social interaction. Turning off lights will be limited to the last 2 minutes of the lunch period to seek the attention of students to begin the transition from the cafeteria to designated classrooms. And then the other change was under statistical support of nutrition education, we added that the first two bullets regarding Delaware Public Health for 2021 and the statistics for obesity, and the others all remained the same because there has not been updates to those provisions. And that was all of the changes.
So this is a lot. It's a big policy.
It's a standard policy from USDA.
We don't have a choice. I'm not trying to pick on it. We've made an effort of trying to separate policy and procedure where we can. And there's, in my opinion, a lot of procedural things in this that I feel like if it was a policy we owned independent from another organization that we could kind of whittle down, and then, you know, you could control the procedure under your department for a lot of this. But if this is what USDA is saying they would like us to have,
so it is basically a USDA, right, another quote unquote kind of plug-in.
Yep,
they, when I come under administrative review, this is one of the things that was just reviewed. They happened to be in a school where they heard some things that were against the wellness policy that I was written up for a technical on. So they do heavily enforce it. I have to turn it over. They do read it. The assessments are posted every year on the, have to remain posted on the child nutrition website. This triennial with the changes will also go up onto the website.
Thank you. Yeah, I think this is one of those ugly beasts that USDA says you have to have a policy for it, so we have a policy. And I just wanted to kind of revert back to, it's a 17-page policy, like President Snow said, but it's very in-depth and comprehensive. But this is also that goal of having things public. This way, anybody would have been able to see this policy, read through the policy, and then if they had questions or concerns about this policy, then it would have came to that. So hopefully, again, with this new procedures and all that stuff, that's going to be another feature that we have. So thank you for all the work on that.
Is there a deadline you need this updated by?
They has to be done. Usually they ask you to do it by within the 3 years. So I do have a few months to get it done.
So if we did a first and a second reading, it's,
yes,
not going to,
oh, absolutely,
it's not going to cause us,
nope,
undue stress.
No, okay, no non-compliance stuff,
yep,
or anything like,
all right,
that.
Thank,
yeah,
you.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 9.4, policy 5147, wellness, for its first reading.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to accept policy 5147, wellness, as its first reading. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Moving on to item 9.5, policy 6110, grading policy. Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
So this policy has been submitted with a few changes. To summarize the major one, these revisions remove the expectation that students' performance be calculated throughout the year based on the end of year benchmarks for each standard. Instead, student performance will now be calculated based on the marking period expectations for the grade level standards that have been taught and addressed up to that point in the year. So to clarify, what a teacher has taught, that marking period, that's what students are being held accountable for, and those are the corresponding scores on the report card to match. It is not comparing the performance of where they expect the student to be at the end of the year. The other two changes are a little more minor. One changes some language, with Infinite Campus being the way we are calculating and reporting interim progress reports. It does say progress report instead of content-specific information. that was provided to families in the past using a different platform called Forefront. And then finally, one of the other revisions deals with how report cards are provided to families throughout the year. So this has the change that for the first and second trimester report cards, they will continue to be available online as they always have. They will be printed and sent home. However, the change is for the last trimester. Current practice, I apologize for that. I don't know if anyone else hears it. The last trimester, because those grades are finished their calculations after students have left, families will again be notified using our messaging to families, letting them know it's available, to go online, that it is available there, and that they will be printed upon request instead of the mass mailings that are currently happening after the students have left and the year has concluded.
Well, I'd like to thank Mrs. Weber for pointing out that we can save a little bit of money by not wasting 6,000 stamps. And the work you've done, Dr. Augustus, and also the last minute pivot to get that tweak in there.
Thank you.
For that.
When we first went to hard copies for K through six, it was to try to get parents to, more parents to read their kids' report cards, essentially, right? We're looking online, we didn't have the activity of parents going on to see their kids' report cards, unfortunately. So just to try to get them to more interact with how well they're supposed to be throughout the year. Do the parents have to sign anything and send it back that they received it?
Yes, for those report cards that are sent home while students are still present, they're going home in a report card envelope. There's an area for parent signature, and the expectation is they remove the contents, they sign the envelope to confirm they've received them, reviewed them, and then the report card envelope is sent back to school.
And I remember when I was in school, we'd get our report cards before we left, but then it made so many days of not doing anything because grades were due, while before that, so it's not realistic for kids to receive their report cards at the end of the year before they leave. So we're gonna have it available online and have it available if a parent wants to come in to see it. The only request that I would have on top of that would be two forms of communication from the principals, which would be one, an email to all the parents to notify them that the report cards are ready, and two, they also do an all call for their school to let the parents know that they can see their report cards or come in if they would like to have them right now.
And they do currently send out a mass messaging system to alert them that in the beginning of the year it's, please, check your child's book bag, it's in there. And then the final one is to let them know the timeline of it being completed, but that they are available as well.
I mean, quickly actually tell you, I'll take the opportunity real quick too. Again, anybody that knows, firemen, no education, came on the board. So I was very quickly to speak with Dr. Augustus on this grading policy, as in I wanted a grading policy 101 education. I grew up, and I think it's a prime opportunity to say, Mr. Skuse and I, when we did go out about, we heard the chatter about the different types of grading policies, and that's when I was kind of like, oh, what are you talking about? So I got the education on that. Just to make sure that we are aware of opinions of the grading policy. We're not here to debate that tonight and or change that policy effectively. We have the one in place. I thank you for clarifying all the changes that were already existent, just kind of formalize and take that opportunity to say thanks. So.
Yeah, I think what Mr. Weisberg is saying or refers to is, it's been a hot topic, right, for the grading policy as we've moved to standards based how many years ago? And it, 5 years ago, you know, and it's evolved from there to try to make it better, right? And we always struggled with the fact that how can you assess a kid in the first trimester for where they're supposed to be at the end of the year, you know, when we haven't even taught them those things. How does that make sense? So I appreciate your willingness of looking into making sure that we kind of have goalposts for each of those trimesters, so we're assessing them on what we have taught them to that point, not something that, you know, is in the future. So I greatly appreciate that. And while we'll continue to have discussions about whether this is the best way to assess kids or the 0 through 100 scale is the best way to assess kids, it seems like the vast majority of the curriculum that you have and the vast majority of other school districts in the state have gone to the standards-based stuff there.
That is. And I appreciate Amber coming on board in July, and then me and, you know, a few other people saying, hey, we need to talk about this, because it is something that, you know, I felt kind of looking through the agenda, or through the board policy, and hearing things and really trying to wrap my mind around what are we trying to do with this report card, and are we accomplishing that goal? And I felt like we have to find some common ground between a standards base and a traditional report card so that parents even understand what we're asking them to. I have no data, but I have anecdotal knowledge that in some ways the goalpost at the end of the year was turning parents off because it was just something that was not concrete enough to them, for them to understand how their kids were progressing. So we did talk to administrators, leadership teams at elementary schools, and then the grading committee. So I appreciate everybody's input, and we're hoping that this will connect some of those dots as well as.
Because we're already in the year, that would be my reasoning for my motion that I'm about to do. Mr. President, I move to approve item 9.5, policy 6110, grade policy, for its first and final reading.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to accept item 9.5, policy 6110, grading policy, for its first and final reading. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. All right, then we'll move on to discussion items. 10.1, construction. Mr. Lloyd? Oh, hold on, we got mass exodus.
All right, I don't think I need the microphone, but what I have is I've got about 25 slides for you. A picture speaks 1,000 words, so I went around and took pictures of where we were. As Ms. Decker said, late July, early August, it was scary.
It was scary.
And,
but it turned out wonderful.
North was the scariest, but we made it, everything was good, so that's very good. As Mr. Morrison said, they got new mulch on their playground, and I want to thank Ed Stover, who coordinated that so that all elementary schools got mulch and JBM got mulch. So that was covered, and that was good. All right, so let's go to the first picture. All right, this was Clayton Elementary. You can see the new mulch that was put around that, as well as the other equipment. Those were the rocks that were at CIS, and they were removed for the expansion for the cafeteria expansion. And rather than just getting rid of them, CIS wanted some additional equipment. So we did two things. We removed the equipment from CIS, we relocated it to Clayton Elementary, and the people that put it in for us were very good. I asked them to try to have it by the beginning of the school year. This picture was taken, I think, on Thursday prior to Labor Day. And then the next picture is September the 2nd. So that was the first day back at school. It was all done with the border. The the rocks were all there. You see kids climbing, sitting, so on. And that was, I just rode by. And I told the teacher, I said, I'm working with instruction. I just want to take a picture of the kids on the playground equipment. I talked to the principal. She was very happy. The kids were very happy. So that was a win-win for the district, and it worked out very well. All right. The next thing we want to go to is Clayton Intermediate. All right, Clayton Intermediate, last month I talked to you and showed you about the new storefront that was put on. Part of that was the inclusion of the handicapped accessible doorways. So that was put in by Advantech along with the card swipes. So they have it outside and they have it inside. So this is for the next one. So there's the inside button. So if someone wants to get out, they can hit it from the inside and the door will open. It opens out for them. So it's close to the door on the inside. On the outside, it's far enough from the door, there's enough room for it to swing. So that was good. All right.
That doesn't bypass the key fob.
Okay, you have to, there's a switch on it that they can, I'm trying to think how they said, they can turn it off so it won't, doesn't work during the daytime when school is in function. One, if there's people that arrive, that they can turn it on, that the, if they push the button, it will open by itself, okay? If you swipe your card, I believe it works on one of the other doors that it unlocks it and does not deal with the...
Yeah, I was making sure that wasn't a way to bypass the system and still sneak in.
Okay, but if you get in, you're only going to get into the vestibule. You can't get into the office area. You know, so that's why we've got that vestibule built in there. All right, this is a picture of the hallway that I showed last month. That is the doors going out to the stairwell on the north side of the school. You can see where there's no baseboard on the bottom. We'll go to the next picture. That was where they are going to work behind that door to build the connecting hallway to go to the new wing. So they have put up the wood barrier so the kids cannot get into the new wing. They painted it, and there it is. So that work is ongoing at CIS. What they're working on, we'll go to the next one. They're working on painting in the different rooms. Next. They're doing continued brickwork outside. So if you ride by, you can see the brickwork on the exterior of the building. This was the front where the rounded windows are going to be, right next to the doors on the north end. But they were working on that the other day when I snapped it. Next, the in the rooms are working on mechanical, electrical, plumbing in the rooms. The ceilings are being painted black, so that up above is black, and I believe in most of these rooms are going to be like a cloud to where the ceiling is going to be suspended. And the idea is that it will help with the sound that will dissipate up above the cloud, but be nice for the students with the cloud there, okay? Next, okay, again, this is an area near the guidance offices and so forth downstairs. They're starting to put some ceiling grid in, you know, in the areas that they can. Okay, next. All right, this is a picture of the cafeteria extension. What the contractor did was they built a wall that's closed off where the glass wall was previously, and now they're adding the rounded area to the cafeteria. So they were in working on the roofing, decking, and so forth. When we had the rainstorm the other day, we did get a little bit of rain. Kristen notified me that a little bit of water leaked into the storage area, and some of it came underneath the temporary wall, but we were able to clean it up and nothing was damaged. All the food in the storage area is 6 inches off the ground. So they, you know, mopped it up, vacuumed it up, and cleaned it up. And it was the way the wind was blowing from that direction that kind of blew against that wall that got it underneath. But the contractor knows about it. They're working to try to fix that before it's complete, you know, when it's completed. Okay, next. All right, this is North Elementary. And this was a change order that we asked for, to have that area concreted, and it gives them a lot of space for the kids to get out and get, you know, dropped off and picked up. You can see first, second, third, fourth grade, or aisle, row 1, 2, 3, 4, however they identify them, that the students in the school know where to line up, be picked up, or the cars know where to stop. and they handled that very well. I've been at the school, I think, 3 or 4 mornings and 2 or 3 afternoons. It does get very crowded still because we don't have full use of all the blacktop area to go back because the construction workers are still in the back. But we've got it in there, and Phil does an excellent job over there in the morning trying to get the kids, I mean, the parents butted up to each other so we get as many cars in off the road as possible. And, you know, I was helping him a couple of days. I didn't want to get involved. I wanted to observe, but I got involved. And we were helping get the cars. We were getting the cars lined up and moved in. And it's getting better every day, wouldn't you say? I mean, I think that the parents are getting used to it. You know, the staff's getting used to it, and it's working out well. All right.
Our SRO officer Evans is also out there helping too, which is.
The Sunnyside also had problems backing up with traffic. They've had that ever since we opened up.
I know.
Yeah.
And then when I put the sawhorse up so you can't watch the kids on the playground, they've been like that either.
It's a challenge to try to do that. It is. All right. So this also is another picture of the extended overhang by that entrance. Again, there's the kindergarten, first, second, and third grades that line up there, and then they go out to the 4 cars that are lined up at the top. Okay, we're going to walk into the exterior door there. Okay, that is the remodeled bathrooms. Okay, the boys' bathroom is on the right, the girls' bathroom is on the left. The girls' bathroom has been remodeled to include handicap accessible, so they had to enlarge that bathroom to make the one stall large enough for the handicap accessible. And then it's the custodial closet there. You're going to see a little bit of the floor, but I'm going to back up and show you what the floor looked like next. There's the big S at North Elementary. It's a rubber flooring that was glued down, so that's where you walk into, and it's, you know, a nice entrance to the school. Next, I want to show you the hallway. If you were there mid-August, there was the hallway was just cluttered with everything. Everything.
We did
have the contractor bring in a cleaner that helped clean the kitchen, because as they were doing a lot of the work on that vestibule or the entrance there, there was a lot of dust that got everywhere, and it got into the kitchen where they cleaned so well. So the contractor brought a professional cleaner in, about 6 people or so, and they cleaned the kitchen, they cleaned some of the hallways, they did this to really help our custodians, because the custodians did a lot, as Mr. Morrison said, for his staff, you know, after summer school and so forth. You know, they worked throughout the summer because there were water cutoffs, there were electric cutoffs at times, and they did what they could to get around things, but they were able to pull it off, and it was good. So that's the hallway going out to the parking lot. The next picture is the hallway that was modified with all the electrical conduits that I was telling you about. So the ceiling was lowered by about 8 inches. That box, there was a box there already, but it got lowered by about 8 inches also. That's where the pipes come together, and there's a box up in the ceiling to where all the connections and stuff can run, and they can turn the electric wires. But that's the glass hallway. All right, next. All right, the windows are being installed. This is the new addition in the back. That would be the administrative corners and the conference room area. But you can see the windows going in with the red trim. All right. Okay, this is the inside, just to show you. It is colorful. There's going to be different areas that are going to be blue, green, red, yellow, and so forth. But you can see the painting is going on also. Some of the ceiling grid is being put in there. So the work is ongoing, you know, all over. Next. All right, this is the courtyard. That's inside between the old existing school, second and third grade wing, and the new kindergarten first grade wing. What they're doing is they're putting up the metal panels inside. Their hope is to be done in the courtyard probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Then the site contractor can get in and grade off what he needs, and start trying to plan for the concrete walkways in there and level it out and so forth. If you look to the left of the lift there, you can see the concrete, I guess you want to call it like an amphitheater or whatever. It's a semicircle where you could take a class out for an outside, you know, classroom for the day. Next. All right, so there's a close-up of that. You can see, so there, kids can sit on it. There's like two rows, teacher could be there. And in the courtyard, they're also going to have areas where they're going to have like picnic tables and so forth, where you can take small groups out. So it'll be very nice when it's done. All right. So painting, brickwork, installation, all that's going on. This would be, if you're looking, this will be the new entrance to the office area on the right, which would be the receptionist area on the right, and then the principal's office next to it. But that's going straight into the courtyard. There's going to be a garage door opening that can go up that will allow access in there if you need to get in. But for the most part, it's going to be down with glass. And there's going to be a little conference table and so forth in that area inside. But that will be the new entrance to the office area for the kindergarten through third grade. All right. Next. All right. Before I get to that, I just want to say on August 27th at 3 o'clock, the staff was very excited about the school. They were very happy about how things looked when they got back there the last week of August. So I offered them a tour. Oh, I got to say something else too. I'm sorry. Excuse me. We were supposed to have the parking lot lined on Tuesday when we had new staff come in. We had rain that day, so they couldn't line it. So on Thursday, they came back. The guys wanted to line the parking lot, and there was staff in all the parking spaces. So I went and I said, I got a big ask. All right, if we don't take advantage of the stripers when they're here, we may not get them back for a few weeks. So I'd like everybody, when you break for lunch, to go out and move your car across the street to the park so the liner and striper can put all the stripes in and so forth. So the staff was very accommodating. They did that. They all moved their cars. They were able to stripe the whole parking lot, paint the curbs yellow, and do all that. So that was good that we worked together with the staff and the contractor to get that done. And then they said that they wanted to have a tour. So I told them I'd take her to a tour at 3 o'clock. So when the contractors basically left, we were able to go and walk them through. And some of the, you know, kindergarten, first grade teachers, you know, were excited about looking at where their rooms will be next year and things like that. Second and third grade teachers were a little jealous, but we told them that at the end of the project, they may all get new furniture because the furniture at North is very old. The school's been there for a long time, so that we may be able to get, depending on how everything goes, and right now it's looking good, that we may be able to get furniture in all the classrooms, you know, all the way down to pre-K and so forth. So that made them happy too, that we're trying to look out for them as it goes.
Okay, the ability to buy new furniture for it is coming out of the construction budget.
Right.
Not an operating budget.
Right. What it is, there is an allowance put in to the contract two ways. One is there's an allowance for FF&E, furniture, fixtures, equipment, and all that kind of stuff. But there's also an allowance that's built into the contract that if you don't spend the money of that allowance for change orders, you can use it for other things. And we're doing good things with that. If I were to guess, I think there was, don't hold me to it, but I think it was like a $200,000 allowance for any unforeseen things. And we may be down to like $140,000 of that left. You know, the replacement of the ceiling tiles and lowering that hallway, that took like $25,000 out of that. But and then we took some money out for the sidewalk concrete. But I think we're still in good shape, and we should hopefully have some money to be able to do the equipment. It's going to depend what that comes in at. We've been in two different discussions with the furniture people. The staff and the administrators have kind of picked out what they'd like to see, but now we've got to get money numbers and see what it's going to be for the new addition and then what it would be to outfit the other rooms. Okay.
I think it's also that's a great time to brought that up because it's a prime opportunity to make sure it's communicated that any excess under budget. You know, we keep talking about under budget. I learned because I didn't know and I even asked, but we come in X amount of dollars under budget. We can't just go use that for anything. There's requirements.
Right. There's the state.
Just making sure that
the state dictates how it can be used, where it can be used, and so forth. So I mean, we'll work through that with Mr. Gott and the architect and everything else.
Lazy and obstacles for us.
Yeah, well, it's not that. You know, the voters voted on a referendum that was specifically for that project, and then we then can't take money from that project and use it for other projects.
All right. The picture you have here is the Sunnyside property. We've had two meetings. We're going to meet again next week. So the site does have the silt fence up. The contractor, okay, go to the next one, if you would, please, Mr. Wanamaker. Should be one more. Okay, they have their equipment out there. They were out again this morning trying to get their points and so forth that they believe they're going to start moving dirt maybe tomorrow. So, you know, I will be happy to see the dirt starting to move around and so forth myself, but he has to get everything squared away. We are in discussion with Mr. Ramuno, with the town, to get temporary electric there, temporary water that can be turned into permanent water. The construction entrance is going to be added, so we're not interfering with Mr. Ramuno's entrance. So there are things that are in the works, but I think that the public would really like to see some dirt being moved around, and I think that's going to happen within the week.
Lord, I got a key that'll start then. You won't move
some dirt. So, again, a picture's worth a thousand words, but I want you to see that there are a lot of things going around the district. A lot of things are happening. The fact that we got, you know, CIS was not as big a challenge as North was, but we got both schools open, you know, on time, things operating very good, and the staff seemed fine. We made Clayton Elementary happy. So hopefully we'll see some progress here soon. And we'll continue the projects. Hopefully we'll get to substantial completion by the end of this year, December, for Clayton Intermediate, and then probably in March for North Elementary, unless things go well or whatever, and they speed it up. But that's what we're looking at.
Both projects are on budget?
Yes, both projects. Yeah. So we still have our allowances. That we're not into anything like that this series, and see him do it. So, all right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you once again for taking this on.
Thanks. All right. Every day, thanks. I just answer the phone when it calls. That's all.
Anybody have any questions or discussions on construction?
No, great job as usual, boys.
All right. We want to go into executive session now. Does anybody have any personal questions? If anybody has any questions, we can start on personnel, or we can go into executive session.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 11.1 through 11.12 as submitted.
Second. We have a motion and a correct second. Any discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisberg?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. I'll now entertain a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second to enter executive session. Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisberg?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. The only potential voting matters we can have after this are personnel or student related. There'll be no information given. So feel free to stay, but no promises on how long we're going to be. So thank you all for coming.
You're out, Keely.
Yeah. All right, I'll call this meeting back to order at 9:50. And we'll entertain a motion on item 13.1. Move to accept as submitted.
Mr. President, move to accept.
Item 13.1, as amended.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on item 13.1. Mr. Weisenberger, how do you vote?
Yay.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries 4-0 with one abstention. Mr. Skuse. We have no further business at this time. I will, oh, was there something added there? No, because it was empty, right? There's no attachment. All right, I declare the meeting adjourned at, I don't know, whatever time it is, 10:52, 9:52. I used to have, yeah.
9:51.
Well, hold on, it's getting there. Give it. You abstain.
You've been relieving your duties on the board.
We didn't know how long you were going to be. You were crossing lines.
You were the abstainer.
Did you make sure that you had time to start recording?
Yes.
Yes. All right. We waited for.